Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the ministry of the word. So you're welcome to another episode on Every Day with Jesus broadcast, where our lives are being transformed and deeply enriched by the preaching of the word of God. So Bible Truths Concerning the Local Church is the series we've been studying. And today we're just going to continue. I've been emphasizing the fact that the Church of Jesus is a place for training us for the ministry of Christ. Hallelujah. And then I've been defining what that ministry is. Lest in one corner of your heart you have a wrong interpretation or definition of the word ministry, like many do. Hallelujah. Ministry is not your career in the world. Ministry is not your business. Ministry is not anything else apart from that which is found and received in Christ Jesus. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Hallelujah. Ministry is received in Christ. It is nurtured in Christ, developed in Christ. You are equipped for it in Christ. Ephesians chapter 2. You don't find it in the world. You won't find it elsewhere. It's exclusive to faith in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. The Bible says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." God prepared them beforehand, that is, before time. Praise God. So it cannot be about your career that came to be in this world as a result of human wisdom. It cannot be your career that came to be as a result of a necessity that happened in time. The good works we are made for in Christ Jesus came beforehand. God ordained them beforehand. Glory to God. So, as an unbeliever, you can pick up an earthly career, but you cannot receive the ministry. You must be born again to partake of the ministry of Christ. To do the good works found in Christ Jesus, you have to be born again. And that's why Jesus says, "He who believes in me, the very works that I do, shall he do also." It is not he who just wants to do the works, just anybody. No, he who believes. The good works are for men who have believed in Christ or believed in the gospel of Christ. John 14, hallelujah. Jesus says, "He who believes in me." John 14, 12, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the very works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than this he shall do, because I go to my Father." Hallelujah. So, the works that I do, shall he do also. The man that believes. The man that believes. So, the good works are for men who believe. Hallelujah. Not just for anybody. You must have faith. So, the ministry is received because you have faith in Christ. Hallelujah. So, we've spent some time clarifying this from scriptures, and if you missed out on those broadcasts, I would implore you to go lay your hands on them and listen to them again. So let's make progress. Let's continue. So ministry is something we do because we are believers. We don't do it for a living. It's a sacrificial task. Hallelujah. And it's about the proclamation of the gospel. Now, I defined how that ministry for the believer is in threefold. That is, we are to minister to the Lord, Acts 13:1. Certain prophets and teachers, and Saul and Barnabas, and he mentioned their names, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. So what does it mean to minister to the Lord? We give him the fruit of our lips. Hallelujah. That's what some refer to as waiting on God. Hebrews 13, verse 15, "Therefore by him let us offer to God the sacrifice of praise, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name," so we can minister to God. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, one of the job or duties of priests in the Old Testament was to minister before the Lord. To minister to God. Hallelujah. You find several places in the Old Testament where priests were seen ministering to the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So there's such a thing as ministering unto God. Exodus 28:1, Bible says, "Now take Aaron your brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me as priest. Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, that they may minister to me as priest." Exodus 28:3, so you shall speak to all who are gifted artisans, whom are filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that they may minister to me as priest. So Aaron had a duty to minister to God, and then in that ministering to God, he was also going to minister to men or for men. Hallelujah. Exodus 29, hallelujah. Exodus 29 verse 44, so I will consecrate the tabernacle of meeting and the altar. I will also consecrate both Aaron and his sons to minister to me as priest. Hallelujah. To minister to me as priest. Jeremiah 32, glory to God, verse 22. Bible says, as the host of heaven cannot be numbered, nor the sand of the sea measured, so I will multiply the descendants of David my servant and the Levites who minister to me. Now this one even extends to the new covenant because he's talking about David. Amen. So he says, I'm going to multiply the descendants of David, my servants, and the Levites who minister to me. The Levites in the Old Testament were appointed and consecrated so they could offer service to God. They could minister to God. Hallelujah. They could minister to God and sing praises to him. Hallelujah. Look at Ezekiel 44, 13, 15, 16. Ezekiel 44, 13, 15, 16. Bible says, and they shall come near to me to minister to me as priest, nor come near, and they shall not come near to minister to me as priest, nor come near any of my holy things, nor into the most holy place, but they shall bear their shame and their abominations which they have committed. So they were meant to minister to him, but because of certain things, you know, there's an instruction saying they will not come anymore to minister to him. Hallelujah. Look at verse 15. But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, who kept charge of my sanctuary, this one were in obedience. When the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near me to minister to me, and they shall stand before me to offer to me the fat and the blood, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 16. They shall enter my sanctuary, and they shall come near my table to minister to me, and they shall keep my charge. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So there's such a thing as ministering to the Lord. Amen. So that's one aspect of ministry. I also said there's ministering to ourselves, ministering to the body of Christ, ministering within the church, the local assembly. Hallelujah. Ministering to fellow saints. It doesn't also have to be in a church program or in a church meeting or conference. It could be outside the settings of a meeting. It could be you just receiving a word for somebody in your house and reaching out to the person. So there is ministry within the body of Christ. Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14. There is ministry within the body of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 4, 11, 12. There is ministry within the body of Christ to ourselves. Ministering as oracles of God. We minister to ourselves, not just in spiritual things. We also minister to ourselves in material things. Look at 1 Corinthians in chapter 16. Hallelujah. Now I'm going somewhere with this. 1 Corinthians 16, hallelujah, and I will read from verse 15. The Bible says, I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruit of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Amen. They've devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. The ministry of the saints there is about the sharing of their substance, of their material things with the saints. So there's ministry within the body of Christ. There's ministry to God. But listen. The essence of our ministry to God and the essence of our ministry to one another in the which we are edified is so we can all go out there and do a collective work of ministry, which is the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. So it's a faulty model when we gather in church and we sing to God, we minister to God, and then we minister to ourselves, and it just all ends there. No. The reason for gathering, the reason for coming together and ministering to God and being stirred up and being edified and edifying one another in some spiritual songs and hymns and giving words of prophecy and tongues and interpretation and experiencing God together is so we can be edified, stirred up, and equipped to go and do the work out there. Because listen, the instruction Jesus gave to his church is that we should go into the world and preach the gospel. That's where it all starts. Hallelujah. That's where it all begins. Or let me even say, that's where it all began from. The reason why you and I are called the church today was because certain men reached us with the gospel. So we cannot sit on the gospel and just be gathering and ministering to God, ministering to ourselves, and we neglect the ministry of reconciliation. No, the essence of coming together is so we can be stirred up to do the good works we have been called to do outside the church. Hallelujah. So we can be equipped to go and preach to the lost. So every church meeting should edify you, build you up, and stir up in you a consciousness of ministry to the world out there. So we come to church for ministering to God, ministering to ourselves. We scatter to go and impact our world with the gospel. Hallelujah. That's where it all began from. And that's the pattern. Glory to God. Let's look at the instruction again. Don't forget, so that's where it all began from, and that is how it is meant to be done. We come to church for ministry to God, ministry to ourselves, and we leave the church gathering to go and minister to the world. So we pick effectiveness and passion for ministry to the world in our gathering. Our hands are strengthened, our feet are strengthened, our hands are strengthened to go and impact the world with the gospel of Christ. Praise God. Let's start from Hebrews first. Hebrews chapter 10. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 10. See the purpose of our gathering. Hebrews 10, 24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let's not forsake our assembling in our gathering. Let us be mindful to stir up ourselves unto love and good works. Hallelujah. And a major good work we are to stir up ourselves for is to go into the world and preach the gospel. Amen. This is very important. So while there are three aspects of ministry, the first two are for the equipping the saints for the last one. If a man has been a recipient of ministry in the church, he should become a better minister of the word to the world. Hallelujah. So the more you are a recipient of the ministry within the body of Christ, the more you should become effective, you should turn out to be sound and effective as a minister of the word to the world out there. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. Look at this now. This is actually one of the clearest portions of scriptures on the fact that every believer has received the ministry. Mark 16. Hallelujah. Mark 16. Glory to God. From verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Look at verse 16. He who believes is baptized and will be saved. And he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. Those who believe what? Those who believe your words. So the signs were not even just about the apostles and the early church that took the gospel to the world. Those who believe the report of the apostles. It says these signs will follow them. Hallelujah. So what are the signs? In my name they will cast out demons. So those who believe your word will also start casting out demons. The very things that Jesus sent his apostles to do. Hallelujah. At Matthew, look at this. Matthew chapter 10. This is important. Or let's do Luke instead. It's same account. Luke chapter 9. The very things that Jesus instructed them and gave them power to do is what he has now commissioned them to take to the world. Preach to others, and as they receive your gospel, they'll also begin to replicate the same impact. Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, from verse 1. The Bible says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons to cure diseases. Have you seen that? He sent them out to do what? To preach. Then he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 1 to 2. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. Verse 1, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them into two by two before his face into every city and place where himself was about to go. Hallelujah. And what did he send them to go and do? Glory to God. What did he send them to go and do? Look at verse 9. And, okay, from verse 8, whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you and heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. So they were sent to go and preach. Hallelujah. And then they returned with joy. And verse 17 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, Bible says, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. So he sent them out to cast out devils, to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and preach the gospel. Hallelujah. While preaching the gospel, perform these great works. And then at Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, shortly before his ascension, he says to them, when you go and preach to every creature, everyone that believes your testimony, these signs will also follow them. So you see, for believing the gospel, you have become a recipient of the same ministry that saved you. Hallelujah. You were on your own, going your own way. Somebody meets you on the road, shares the gospel with you, persuades you concerning Christ Jesus, and you embrace the gospel. From that moment that you embrace the gospel, you also embrace the ministry of the gospel. The ministry that saved you has now been passed on to you and extended to you. These signs will follow them that believe. Hallelujah. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. We know that these things are done in an environment of preaching the word of God. If you are not ready to be a minister of the gospel, if you are not ready to reckon yourself and yield yourself as a vessel for preaching the gospel of Christ, don't be asking where are the signs. The signs follow them that obey the instruction of going into the world and preaching. Hallelujah. Verse 19, so then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. The word them is in the italics. So it's the Lord working with the word and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Hallelujah. So as you embrace the gospel and you have faith in what Christ has done, you also become a minister of the same message. And the church is a gathering or a setting where you are now meant to be equipped to fully dispense and to effectively dispense this ministry. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing today we have Christians who dread evangelism? Hallelujah. Christians who dread evangelism. Me, I cannot evangelize. What's the problem? I'm always scared. I am injured. A believer. Hallelujah. Such is a sign that you have not been trained and equipped to fulfill your ministry. Why should you be afraid? Hallelujah. Why should you be afraid and scared? You don't know what to say? Or you are not sure how they are going to respond to you? A well-trained disciple of Christ is not going to be nursing all these things. Hallelujah. Because there's a greater motivation. There's something else compelling you to reach out to the world. Hallelujah. For one, while you are equipped to do the work of ministry, in that equipping, for one, you're already knowledgeable. You know what to say. You know when to say what to say. You know how to say it. Hallelujah. You have grown to be skilled in the dispensing of the things of the Spirit, because there's training. So a man that is dreading evangelism lacks proper discipleship. And if you love yourself, you go to where there's discipleship. A man that runs away from evangelism is a man that is not well trained. If you like, you've spent 40 years in the body of Christ. If you like, be 30 years old in the faith. It doesn't make a difference. Age does not confer maturity on people. Age does not confer wisdom or skillfulness on people. All what confers skillfulness and wisdom and maturity on people is godly training. Hallelujah. So if you don't have that training, you don't have it. And there's no faking it. There's a way to do evangelism. There's a way to bear fruit. There's a way to be effective in preaching the gospel to the lost. It is learned. It is not assumed. There's no guesswork here. It is learned. Hallelujah. Something you have to give yourself to receive training in. Glory to God. Luke's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 40. Jesus said to his disciples, a disciple is not above his teacher. He that is perfectly trained shall be like him. What makes a disciple behave and conduct himself like the master is perfect training. Hallelujah. Perfect training. When you are trained, you are skilled. Hallelujah. When you are trained, you know what to do. When you are trained, you know how to go about it. That's training. And this is what the body of Christ, the gathering of local assemblies scattered around the world, this is what we are meant to be busy equipping ourselves for. The work of ministry out there. Because listen, Jesus said at Luke 10, he says, the laborers are few, the harvest is plenty. The harvest right there, out there, is plenty. We need all the hands. Hallelujah. Someone says, if we are all preaching the gospel, wouldn't it be too much? Eh? Too what? Hallelujah. Too what? Let me give you some shocking statistics. Sometimes, in the life of a man, it took him listening to over 15, 20 preachers before believing the gospel. Hallelujah. Sometimes, subconsciously, he has listened, he has heard the message of the gospel subconsciously over 30 or 40 times. On his way to work, there was somebody at the bus stop saying, Jesus saves forever, Jesus saves, Jesus died for your sins, believe in him. And then he's explaining, he didn't really pay too much attention, but he heard it subconsciously. On his way back from work, another person in the bus is talking. On his way to work the next day, you know, he goes to visit a friend, and somebody on the streets of his friend is talking the gospel. One day, he gives a consideration to the message. But mind you, there has been a lineup of faithful ministers of the word that eventually brought that harvest. Hallelujah. I remember one day, I think I've shared this story in my local church. I've shared it over and over again. I remember one day I was to engage a young man. He was standing in front of a bar, a beer parlor. And I was to engage him with the gospel. And as I began to engage him with the gospel, he began to harass me in quotes. He began to cause a scene. Oh, leave this place. So he began to shout. He was almost being violent, physically violent against me. And then I kept saying to him, God loves you. And then he broke down in tears and eventually listened to me. And I shared the gospel with him. And to my surprise, he said, the reason why he's crying is because this is the third person that has come to him today. And he kept chasing everybody away, and I stayed. And that this is the third person. So he's wondering, What exactly did he do for God or do to God to deserve this kind of show of love? Hallelujah. Now, that was in a day. I was the third person that reached him with the gospel. That was in a day. So imagine all through his lifetime up until that time. So we can't be too many. The idea of if we're all preaching the gospel, won't we choke the word? It's even good. Let us choke the world with the light of God. Let's choke the world with the light of the glory of Christ. Isn't the world trying to choke the believers, trying to choke the light of the world, trying to choke the church with ungodliness and darkness and all kinds of evil? So imagine the whole body of Christ. Imagine if we were all passionate about the gospel, the truth of God's word, and we were putting it out in all our spaces, on our statuses, on our WhatsApp, just saturating and diffusing the knowledge of Christ in every place. It cannot be too much. That intense light, that's the kind of thing we need. Glory to God. So the body of Christ has been commissioned to take the gospel to the world, and it requires the input of every individual. Hallelujah. To excuse yourself is to be acting like a bastard, because the gospel is your father's business. I'll say it again. And it's not an insult, unless you are trying to excuse yourself. To excuse yourself is to behave or to act like a bastard, because the gospel is your father's business. And this language that I'm using now is the same language the writer of Hebrews employed. He says, if all are partakers of discipline and you are the only one who is not a part of it, then you are not a legitimate child. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if you say, I don't want to, that behavior is the behavior of a bastard. Because your father's business is what we are talking about. The gospel is your father's business. You should be delighted about it. You should be excited about it. You should want to be a part of it. Even if we tell you to not come, you should want to be a part of it. Hallelujah.
No. It's my father's business. I must be a part of it. Hallelujah. Jesus commissioned the entire church to take the gospel, the word, to the world. Hallelujah. And we see that the early church was so faithful. Realized that the moment Jesus gave them that instruction, they were not saying, so who will go? Who are the people Jesus was really talking to? Is it for everybody? Bible says, and they went everywhere collectively as a church. All of them went everywhere preaching the gospel. And God was working with the word and confirming the word with the accompanying signs. All of them. No questions asked. No excuses. Just obedience. Hallelujah. Today people have questions, excuses, logical excuses, legitimate, illegitimate excuses. The early church had obedience. Hallelujah. So choose today between excuses and obedience. Are you willing to be obedient as a child of God? Are you willing to submit yourself, to yield yourself to God as a vessel for his good works? Hallelujah. Look at Jesus. He was consumed with a passion to preach the gospel. Amen. That's your example and model. That's our example and model. You should look at the life of Jesus and catch the fire of evangelism. Hallelujah. John chapter 4. Glory to God. John chapter 4. Hallelujah. John chapter 4. Whatever you do, don't miss tomorrow's broadcast. Because that's the end of this series. We are going to put this series to an end or bring it to a close for now. And I have very important things to say. Very, very important things to say. Instructions and admonitions to say as we wrap up this series. That's not to say everything we have been saying is not important. Hallelujah. But just get my point anyway. John chapter 4. You see a man who was passionate about the work. At John chapter 4, from verse 1, therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. Praise God. Now, let me quickly make a commentary on that. Jesus himself did not baptize because the baptism of water is not his ministry. Jesus was said to be the one who would baptize men with the Spirit. Now, don't say, well, he wasn't baptizing, but his disciples were baptizing. He's the same. No. Jesus was not standing aloof in the matter of casting out demons, healing the sick, every other thing disciples were doing. Jesus was the example. So this one that Jesus was not a part of is already a clear sign that this is not his ministry. Hallelujah. That's just a side comment. So look at verse 5. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. He was weary, tired, fatigue. Amen. I'm very sure he just came from a place where he was preaching. Glory be to God. So he was weary, was tired. But then a woman came to fetch water by the well. And before you could look up, Jesus was already engaging her with the gospel. This was a man that was weary in his body. Weary in his body, tired. He began to preach. Hallelujah. He began to preach. And the disciples had gone to get him food. He wanted the woman to give him water, which he eventually did not take. He didn't drink the water. And look at this now. He didn't drink the water. Now, when disciples came back, verse 31, in the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of, which you do not know. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Hallelujah. If there was anything that satisfied Jesus and got him fulfilled, it was about the work of ministry. Here was a tired man, weary in his journey. Tired. He needed rest. They went to get him food. He needed water. Before they could come back, his strength had returned, as it were. And he says to them, you don't know I have food to eat of. You don't know I have a particular food to eat of. My food is to do God's will and to finish his work. Hallelujah. Let the passion of Jesus instruct you. Let the passion and the commitment of Jesus instruct your heart. And you will do the work of ministry with the right commitment. Hallelujah. He didn't eat. He didn't eat. And then, you know, he had the strength to journey into Samaria. He had the strength to follow the woman into Samaria and stay there for 2 days. Of course, he might have eaten in the course of the 2 days, but before moving into Samaria, there was no record that Jesus partook of that food. He told them, there's a food they are partaking of. It is about doing the will of my Father. And he went into Samaria, preaching the gospel. Stayed there for 2 days. See passion. See commitment. See labor. Hallelujah. This is so, so important. So the early church was not giving excuses. They all got busy, focusing on the work the master had committed to them, preaching to the lost. Amen. So you and I have a collective ministry. It is the ministry of the gospel to the world. It's a collective ministry. That's the reason for church gatherings. We are edified, we are stirred up so we can be built up enough and edified enough and strong enough to go into the world and minister to men. Hallelujah. We are ministers of the word to the world. Praise God. So the early church went everywhere. Look at Acts of Apostles. Glory to God. Acts of Apostles chapter 8 and verse 4. Very important. Acts of Apostles chapter 8. Hallelujah. Verse 4. In fact, let me start from verse 1. Now Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere, preaching the word. Now, who were those who were scattered? Not the apostles. Bible says the whole church was scattered apart from the apostles. So those who were scattered were every other person that was in church. Every other person you could, you know, see in the church that was not in a leadership capacity. Hallelujah. Because prior to this time, the apostles were the only leaders in the early church. At this point in time, they didn't have pastors ordained in every place. The first mention of having elders and bishops and pastors ordained in every place was at Acts 14. So that's why at Acts 2, it was they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They were the ones overseeing the church and teaching the church and equipping the saints with the word. At Acts 6:4, that's the reason why it was Peter that said, see, it is not good for us to leave the word, desirable for us to leave the ministry of the word and to serve tables. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The ministry of the word there is not just about the world, because the old church was doing that. The ministry of the word, which Apostle Peter says it is not good for us to neglect, was ministering to the body of Christ. Hallelujah. So we can't be serving tables in the midst when we ought to be attending to preaching and teaching the saints. So at Acts 8, when the whole church scattered, the whole church consists of every other person apart from the apostles. Bible says they went everywhere preaching the word. Hallelujah. Verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Preach Christ to them, and the multitudes with one accord, either the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. So you see that the early church had a culture of obedience to the mandate to go out there and preach the gospel. Hallelujah. And then today, we have pastors who have the effrontery, who have the guts to say, your ethnic career is your ministry. We don't need to preach. In fact, a pastor in Lagos, Nigeria, said that the era of preaching the gospel, men going from house to house, reaching out to people, that era is over. Right now, we just need to create big auditoriums, have good venues, and then put out word, let people know there's a place for worship, and then we attract people with auditorium. And then we put out advert on the media. A pastor in Lagos, Nigeria said this. I'm quoting him. Hallelujah. Now, that's a very, very sad submission, because in the early church, they had synagogues. There were synagogues. There were temples. Yet, the early church went everywhere preaching the gospel. Paul says, I have taught you publicly and from house to house. So there's no such thing as the era of going around preaching the word of God is over. It will never be over as long as men are everywhere. Everywhere people are, we have been sent there. We are to take the word of God to them. You see that thing that church leader described? You know what that is called? That's not going into the world. That's waiting for the world to come. Hallelujah. The instruction is go. Jesus said to Peter, I will make you a fisher of men. It's not fishes that come to men. It is the man, the fisherman, that goes to the river. And, with his skillfulness, with his tactics, he knows what to do to get the fish. So when Jesus likened preachers of the gospel to fishers of men, it shows you there must be a deliberate effort on the part of the preacher. He must get into the world like a fisherman to catch men. Hallelujah. So we don't wait for the world. We don't put up structures and wait for them to be attracted. We go into the world. That's why Jesus went. If Jesus, your Lord and Master, went, who are you not to go? Acts of Apostles chapter 10 verse 38. Go, Bible says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, and he didn't stay in one place, attracting men to himself. He went about doing good. He went about preaching and teaching in their synagogues. Mark's Gospel chapter 1, Jesus went about preaching and teaching in their synagogues. He went around. Where are this crop of lazy preachers emerging from? Hallelujah. Where are this crop and set of lazy and hallelujah. Lazy preachers. I don't even know which word to use again. Very lazy preachers. Where are they emerging from? Preachers who don't want to go everywhere. And they've infected their members, and they are infecting many believers who are not even their members with that kind of mindset. They've infected them with laziness. It's like a virus. The average Christian cannot lift a finger to save a soul. He's too complacent. He's too lazy. He's too laid back. Hallelujah. You need to come out of this generation and embrace God's wisdom in his word. We are to go and preach. And if you are not going, you are walking in disobedience. If you are not going, you are living in disobedience. Hallelujah. If you are not going, you are living in disobedience. The day you start going is the day you start obeying God. Praise God. Going everywhere. Romans in chapter 15, verse 18 to 19. We have to be deliberate about it. We have to be intentional about it. It doesn't happen by chance. It happens by choice. Hallelujah. No, it's not by chance. It's by choice. I choose to go, and I go. Romans 15. Glory to God. Romans chapter 15, and I'll read from verse 18 to 19. There's a going required. Romans 15, 18 to 19. Glory be to God. Romans 15, 18 to 19. Bible says, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Have you seen? He went about. Hallelujah. He went about. Now listen, the generation of the apostles or the early church will rise in judgment against us. Because these men journeyed on foot most times. They were walking, going from place to place. You think it's a joke that Jesus gave them an instruction, if they reject you, dust the foot of your sandal against them. They were walking they were going from place to place, walking. The only place we saw Jesus ever use a means of transportation, it was a donkey to get into Jerusalem, which your Bible refers to as a triumphal entry. That was the only record of a place Jesus used something else for his mobility. Every other place, Jesus was practically journeying by foot. He was walking around. Amen. Today, you even have the luxury of car. You can drive from one location to another and pitch your tent there and preach the gospel. Drive to another location and preach the gospel. You can take a bus and you are still lazy. The generation of the early church, the apostles, the generation of Christ will rise up in judgment against us if we keep giving excuses for not doing the work of ministry. The gospel demands a deliberate going. Hallelujah. It demands a deliberate going. Jesus says, go into the world and preach. Are you going? When last did you go? Hallelujah. Are you going? When last did you go? Oh, do you even agree you should go? We don't have to go. I should just do it as it comes to me. You know, I can do it. It's not something I should set aside time for now. We don't really have that much time. I have to go to work. Oh, so you have to go to work. But you don't have time to go to preach. Can you hear yourself? When it comes to going to work, you don't do it spontaneously. You don't do it as led. You choose to go. You wake up every morning, you are deliberate about it, you go. When you want to go to the market, going is a word you understand. The word go is well understood. You know you have to get up and dress up and go. When it comes to preaching the gospel, going becomes, it's not really like that. You don't have to really deliberately go. The go is not really go in the Greek. The go, something is entirely wrong with your mind, and you must reformat that mind today by the word of God and begin to obey Christ. There's a going required, and that going is deliberate. It is intentional. That's how Jesus went about. That's how the apostles went about. That's how the early church went about. That is exactly how Jesus expects us to go about preaching the gospel today. Hallelujah. I'm going to continue from here, wrap up the series in the next teaching tomorrow, and then we're going to be done. I want to plead with you to receive the wisdom of God. Obey God and be intentional about the ministry. So this is a major reason to look for a local church. A local church that equips you to fulfill your ministry of reconciliation. You must be out there preaching and giving accounts, giving reports of souls you are reaching out to. And then you have follow-up. You have disciples in your environment, disciples in your at different places, people you are reaching with the gospel, the good news of Christ. Hallelujah. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow. Invite your friends, family members, colleagues, classmates, and let's come together to have a great time in the word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the word, full of the Holy Ghost, full of faith and of power, full of spiritual songs. And don't forget to be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.